Imagine it's the year 2055, a regular weekday morning. Where do you wake up? With a booming population and more people moving into urban areas, chances are you'd be living in a city, but what might that city look like? Mitchell Joachim is an architect and one of the founders of the innovative design group Terraform One. And Strange Champs asked him what it might be like to live in a future city.
So Mitchell, no matter how you look at it, we're looking at a lot more houses and a lot more buildings needing to be constructed in the future. You have this ingenious, wild, I don't know what to call it, idea that some of those buildings in the future will be made not of dead trees and steel beams, but of living materials. Can you explain?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we've had, a number of centuries where we've been thinking about building, where everything has been more mass-produced, highly unitized, incredibly modular. And in the more recent industrial age, everything is about this kind of factory model. Our group, Terraform One, has been looking at alternates, a link to the resources that the Earth's provided us, but do it in a way that we don't deplete them. And one such kind of system is thinking about living architectures that are comprised of directly of the metabolism or the systems you'd find in nature, and nudging them for human use, nudging them into geometries that are spaces that are occupiable, homes that are simply made from living elements that are adjusted so that we could find some sort of space or sanctity inside them.
I'm not totally sure I understand what you mean. Can you describe one?
I'll get into that minutiae. So one project, Fab Treehab, is taking living trees or any woody plant matter, vines, etc., and growing them into a shape. So we provide scaffolding that's designed using computers and allowing the vines to be shaped inside that scaffolding and growing them into a home, attaching them to larger woody plant species such as trees and grafting all of the components together so they form one contiguous plant system.
What would it look like?
It would look like a home that would be essentially a part of the landscape, almost no distinction between home and landscape. It would welcome all kinds of critters and creatures on the outside. And you can imagine it would be a treehouse, unlike nothing you've maybe seen before. But at the same time, it's just as if the landscape was folded up for a moment and you could get inside underneath it and live there. The inside would be like any other home. You could put your TV in your couch and plaster the walls. But the structure and the exterior would be made up of loam or mud filled in inside these woody plants and vines.
It sounds like something for elves or hobbits to live in.
Yeah, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But hobbit homes look like they fit into nature. And it's a different directive than we have today, which is this kind of box that makes up so much of the suburbs. And it's just not sustainable to continuously construct these kinds of homes.
So are you imagining, I don't know, future cities or villages that look more like urban forests in which there are all these kind of tree homes and little creatures are running around and there's leaves and little streams running through? Or is this too pastoral?
There's something wrong with the American sublime and these pastoral ideas of the countryside. I think it's – if there will be folks living in the suburbs, I think the topology of the suburb, the basic building stock that we understand today is got to shift into something that has a kind of a fitness with nature. And we could use trees as they are and woody plants as they are in their local ecosystems and shape them for our own functional purposes. I think on the site and the very location you desire to live, you could have a village for thousands of families made from the materials that are available there. The biggest criticism I've gotten for doing something like that is people are worried it takes a lot of time. But I think if we wait 12 years for a bottle of scotch, we can wait 12 years to grow a village of homes for 1,000-plus families that have a positive contribution to the environment.
I'm curious, as an architect, somebody who thinks deeply about what houses are and what they mean to us and our relationship with our houses, the structures we live inside, do you think we would have a different feeling about a house that was literally alive?
I mean, that's a great perspective. I think absolutely we would have a different connection, if not kinship, to a home that is living. There would be some idea of sentience. This is a breathing, connected mechanism to the earth, and we would have to respect it as such, as opposed to dead, harvested materials that have been processed, highly processed through some industrial system. I might even go so far that even in a distant future, we would think of extended phenotypes for people, much like a bird has a nest, which is very important to the life of the bird, or a spider and a web, a beaver and a dam, etc. These are kind of logical and built-in evolutionary extensions of of those organisms. Humans at some point have probably lost that instinctual link to nature to make homes. So there's probably be a deeper return to that in the future at some point.
Were you raised on a lot of Grimm's fairy tales? Because all of this, it just sounds like something out of, those fairy tales.
Oh, thanks. Truth be told, many architects have been thinking about this for some time. They were called bioformalists. I mean, it started with someone like Frank Lloyd Wright, who talked about organic architecture. If you think of another famous architect in America, Frank Gehry, his forms for the Walt Disney Concert Hall are very organic, if I can use the term here, loosely flowing, very curvilinear, but essentially they're not organic. They are steel, metal, and glass. So the next logical phase has been this new generation, which I guess I'm a part of, is architects actually taking the computational systems extracted from nature, principles from Frank Lloyd Wright, and actually making a truly organic architecture where we're really working at the genetic level, or we're working with natural materials and growing them to perform as living systems.
So how would you scale that up to create mega cities?
Well, it's one step at a time. It's going to take a lot of folks working for a decade or more to solve some of the bigger problems that we're looking at in creating truly living architectures. I think that if cities are meant to be built today, to get them to be absolutely living be a very difficult and expensive process. And unfortunately, we'll have to use more conventional means to build some of these cities. But that doesn't mean the infrastructure, the stuff that deals with waste, food, water, air quality, et cetera, mobility, isn't made to have a kind of a connection to nature, and that these kinds of flows, these metabolic flows, will link the cities logically so that we can have a sustainable urbanism.
So let's play out a couple of future scenarios. I mean, say we figure out how to build cities with new, more biological materials. Can you kind of paint a picture, walk me through the built environment of a person who might be living in a middle American city with an average income?
Well, first, let's hope we get there. If we can get past the amount of carbon we're putting in the atmosphere, think of a set of controls on our growth and our economy and all sectors, and that we're able to kind of be around the next 100 years because we figured out the system, I would imagine that someone in the future would be living in a place where there is no waste. Even the concept of waste would be completely gone away. There would be no term for waste. Everything would be upcycled constantly in a nutrient stream where it's being used and reused. And I would think that transportation would also be very different. So if you wake up in the morning, you would get to work if you don't work at home through a transportation system that is designed to fit cities. So it's not a kind of a universal one like the automobile is. We'll have a lot of shared ownership models for moving, public transportation, et cetera, and models of transportation that fit directly into the architecture.
So as we look at a future with a massive population increase and these megacities, how are officials and urban planners and architects preparing for the growth of American cities right now?
We're arguing. Yeah, I think that's healthy. It's a large-scale, long-term polemic. Fighting over utopia, which most of us dismiss outright, not because utopia is a bad idea, but because many of us think there's a lot of good examples where it's failed. I would think that it's not about establishing a fantastic Shangri-La or some perfect environment for everybody. I think it's actually more of a goal of achieving a maximal answer to current real-world problems. I mean, that to me is what a utopia is.
Mitchell Joachim is an architect and co-founder of Terraform One. He's also an associate professor at NYU and Switzerland's European Graduate School. Anne Strainchamps talked with him.